What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. I got a special episode today. You ever thought about it? Like, being an entrepreneur is not easy. Being a dentist is not easy. And your path to get to be an entrepreneur and a dentist can take some turns. Well, I met an amazing man. His name is Jeff Henneberg, and he's a powerful member of the ACT Dental Smile Source community. And he has an amazing story about how you went from an educator to an entrepreneur. And I thought, we got to share this on the podcast. So here it is. Please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I get to meet the coolest people in all of this great industry and share their stories with you. And so you can create a better practice and a better life. So I don't care where you're listening. I don't care if you're in your car or listening while you're cleaning the garage. People tell me they're cleaning the basement and they listen to the podcast. I don't care. It doesn't matter, but we're going to keep bringing it. And I got a new friend on today. In full transparency, we've only met one time. This is our second time meeting Dr. Jeff Henneberg. And he's from Spokane, Washington. Did I say Spokane? Yeah, you probably get that all the time. Like Spokane, Spokane, right?
Yeah. Yep, you bet.
Yeah. So, Jeff, thanks for being on. I really appreciate you, buddy. So,
my pleasure.
Yeah.
You bet.
Sounds good. So, let's start here. I would love for our listeners to know we have a lot of listeners now, a lot of young ones, some dental students, even pre-dental students send me an email. I'm like, let's start with here. Who are you before we get started? Give us a little background in your bio.
Okay. Well, I've been doing this for 20 years now, is all. But I'm also 56 years old. So there's a little life in between dentistry and coming out of college and stuff. So I wasn't always a dentist. I started off a whole different career path. Halfway through my pre-med of going to undergrad, I wasn't doing very well because I was more interested in surfing and diving and enjoying the thing of a 20-year-old, I suppose. So I set my father and I said, hey, listen, I got to take a year out and figure out what I really want to do, if this pre-med thing is the way to go or not. So I went out to the middle of the Pacific and taught English to the Marshallese, the Marshall Islands, where I could surf, dive, and fish. Wow. Oh, and then teach a little too, you know, whatever. And there it's where I got a little bit of a teaching bug. And when I came back from doing a year there teaching, I changed to education, finished an education degree, taught middle school math, for 6 years while I was working on my admin degree, and got my admin. I was almost done with my admin degree when a small school up in Northern Idaho needed a principal for their elementary school, a private school. And my mentor at the time said, you should just go through the process of applying for that, see what they say, and go through that. And I guess they thought some young guy coming out would be the way to go. So they hired me, and I was continuing my admin degree at the same time. And so I was a principal for an elementary school for 2 years. And I taught one class of math at the time too. But all along, Kirk, all along, I was an entrepreneur, I think, at heart. I was wanting to own my own business, be in control of my own time, and kind of my own boss. Mm-hmm. Having your own classroom can kind of feel like that a little bit, right? Follow some rules and so forth, curriculum, all those things. Having your own school, so to speak, you know, can feel like that too. But at the end of the day, all of that isn't really that. And politics and parents and some of the things that cause stress for educators today were true for me. And I found myself in two camps. One, I'm doing time here, or the other, this is their passion. This is who these guys are, and nothing's going to stray them from that career. And I was somewhere in the middle. And being in the middle, I felt myself kind of gearing more towards doing time and not feeling the passion of that. So it was one summer, I had a neighbor that built a house in our little neighborhood in this small community and in Idaho. And I had not met him. He was down a couple. And I was really searching for something different. My wife and I, we didn't have kids at the time. And I said, I got to figure out what I want to do, really. Like, let's figure this out. Because I'm not happy. And I have no time for myself. I can't imagine having kids right now. I'm living at school. I'm all this stress, yada, yada. And so I went down, knocked on his door. And I said, hey, I just want to know what you do for a living. I know it's a weird thing to ask somebody right off the top, but you seem pretty well adjusted. You're here often enough. Every time I'm here, you're either mowing the lawn, you got two kids, one on the way. And I just want to know, tell me you don't trade stocks from home, because I can't do that. But I'm at a place where I want to know some options. And he was a really nice guy. Kevin was a really nice guy. And he said, well, that is an odd question, but I'm a dentist. And then I said something really stupid. I said, what are you doing in my neighborhood? Because you shouldn't, you know, I had this idea of what a dentist is and how much money they make and all these things. And he didn't take it too personally. He said, why don't you spend a day in my office with me? So I took a personal day, spent a day in the office, and I realized that he's serving his community, which is what I'm already doing. He's his own boss, which I kind of feel like that, but he really is. He gets to help people all day, and he gets to lead a team. So he's a leader. And the only thing outside of the things I kind of felt like I was already experiencing was that he had his own time and he had to deal with the mouth. So he handed me a book, How to Study for the DAT, D-A-T, and I immediately just dove into it. And I started feeling like I knew about half of it. And I feel like I could figure out the other half. And so we just dropped ship. It was August, school starts in September. And we just left everything. And I went back to undergrad as fast as I could. Wow. I took two more courses, you know, physics and OCHEM, and got into a Kaplan review. I don't know if they even have those anymore, where you can study ahead of time, take classes, you know, audio classes and have lectures and try to get ahead of things so that I could take the DAT in January, because I needed to finish all those classes, right? So you can get into the next calendar year of school. Anyway, long story short, got into school, got into dental school, and wished I'd done it sooner.
Yeah.
It's an amazing career to have the things, the time that I wanted, and the ability to be in all those like spots, right? The boss, the own time, you're leading people, you're serving, you're in your community. All these little check boxes, man, for me, it really made sense.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, so go back to that. So you,
I know that's a lot of information.
Oh, really, I have so many questions. Story, I love it. So exactly how old were you when you knocked on the door?
I was 30.
You were 30. That is awesome. What'd your wife say when you told
My
her?
My wife is amazing, because she's like, well, we don't have kids.
Yeah.
She was a women's health public health nurse at the same time too. And she said, what's the worst that could happen? Right. It doesn't work out and you have a career. So we can go back and let's take a risk. Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
So let's do it. So she took on three jobs and we plugged away. Yeah.
Okay. You also asked the dentist, what are you doing in my neighborhood? Go a little bit further on that. Like, what did he really say? Why do I live in this neighborhood? Because I've heard Barrett shared a little bit of this story. I want to hear more.
He nailed what he said to me was actually profound, because the thing I did not have was time.
Yeah.
I could not see myself outside of school all day long, every day, it felt like. From the morning you woke up, you're the first one there and you're the last one to leave. And family time and all that just didn't seem like it was going to be a possibility. So I needed time. I just wanted time back. And he said to me, I go, what are you doing in my neighborhood? And he said, Well, I'm not going to be offended too much, but I chose dentistry for the fact that I could dictate my own time, he said. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, blown away. Like, you just said the thing I needed to hear. That's why I got all like, ooh, tell me more, right? And so when I saw, he worked 3 days a week on purpose. He didn't want to work any more than that. He wanted to spend time with his kids. He had chosen this path for that reason initially.
Yeah.
Which was pretty insightful for a young dentist coming out, if he could do it. And he could. So he chose to live in a, you know, a community where he could handle the payment of his house and do the things he wanted to do and keep within his budget and make it work.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he's making more than I'm making even now. And which is wasn't the point, you know, but it has a factor in your choices and your ability to live a life, right? And so so I thought, hey, if it's just 3 days, hey, 4 days a week, I could do even better, right? I can do that.
Yeah.
And dictate my own time. So yeah. That's the thing that, ironically, it's the thing that I went into this for. I would say that it hasn't come true now with three practices and 35 people working for you. And there's a lot that goes into that. And time seems to be the thing that gets pulled back in, right? If you don't get it anymore.
Amen, brother. You're talking my language. We're going to come back to that because I'm 55. You're 56, right? So yeah. I always tell people time is the new rich, man. I don't care how much money you make. Whoever has control of their time has control of like really is wealth. Don't you agree?
Agreed. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We get more of it, right? All these, everyone's trying to live longer, you know, and we are as right. humans and US, you know, everything. Yeah. But
amen.
Time.
I'm so curious. Okay. So go back to the poll internally. One of the questions I have, and I don't have an answer, is can entrepreneurship be taught? Because it sounds like you had a fire burning inside of you. I always joke. Now, I'm going to give you my look. I've told people I'm not employable. Like, I don't think I could. I've tried it. Like, I have this burning thing inside of me that, like, I just got to do it my way. Was that true for you?
I think I didn't identify it sooner, but I think that's true. Like without it being your way, your vision, your dictating of your own time every day, right? That to me, it says be your own boss. Right. Like you can't work for the man and have that kind of mentality around it. Can it be taught? Can it be something you see and go, ooh, I want more of that. Show me how to do that. I think we all have the ability to change. I think we all have the ability to think about life differently, move therapeutically, whatever it is, like in a direction that's more healthy and fits for who you are, who you want to be. So I would say, yes, it's teachable. It's great with those guys that have it like from the get-go,
right?
You know, and they seem to get ahead of the game, but I'm still learning. Oh my gosh. Right.
That's why I do this podcast. I get to learn from you today and every day.
Whoa,
so,
whoa.
Yeah. So
imposter for sure.
You know, we'll go. Okay. So tell us the rest of the story. So you go to school. Where'd you go to dental school?
I went to Loma Linda University in Southern California.
Okay. And then what happened after that? You graduate in what year? How old are you?
2005.
Okay.
And, I didn't want to live in Southern California. So we looked kind of going back up to our roots where we were in the first place, which was Northern Idaho, Spokane, Eastern Washington. So finished a little early, finished in March when everyone kind of finishes, you know, May, June, whatever. And so it gave me a little head. I think probably because I also knew exactly, I was a little older and exactly, like I was always the last guy in the lab, you know, still working on stuff. And I don't know, I just had a different perspective. I didn't need to go out and meet everybody, you know, have the fun party or whatever. But so got done a little early. So I was able to come up here and I associated for a year for a guy, almost a year. And that was just to get wet. I knew I wanted to be my own boss still. I just didn't know that I could do that, you know, right off the top and go de novo or something like that. That didn't fit who I needed to kind of, I wanted to learn from somebody. I wanted a little mentorship. A lot of self-confidence, but you don't know what you don't know. And I right. felt like I knew that enough. So worked for a guy with the promise of, you know, he's hired lots of people with the promise of something. And I could tell right away, that's not something he's really being honest about. So left that practice and immediately wanted to try to find my own practice.
Okay.
And
Keep going. So scratch start, or did you buy it?
So I bought, I was looking in Spokane at the time, and there really wasn't a lot for sale. Actually, it was only a couple practices for sale, and I was a little worried because of that. And then another one popped up quickly. We were even thinking about just moving because I knew I couldn't work for this guy or something, and maybe just move around our state or someplace. So decided, no, let's keep looking. And another one popped up. He worked 3.5 days a week. And I thought, look, I could enhance that. I could grow that. And he tried to sell it 2 other times. He didn't like the guy. Now, that was a little red flag, you know, like, you know, nothing's ever good enough or something like that. So he entertained me and we got along well enough. And he was going to work a little bit in the practice, you know, kind of transition. And he went on a fishing trip right away. Like, I'm going to take 2 weeks. You bought the practice. It's yours. So we went up to Alaska and he got injured on the boat really badly.
Oh, no.
He took out his knee completely, had a whole knee replacement, and was in the hospital. I was getting recovery. He fell out of the bed. It got worse. And so he never came to work. He never made it back into the practice from there. And so we just kind of decided to keep growing it and still had that bug. Like, you know, I wanted to be more than the 3 days, apparently.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how I could be my own boss even more and get more time back and have others working instead of me in the chair. So what could that look like? And started exploring that idea more and more and more. And another practice came up for sale about 6 years later. So I bought it, and that retiring dentist worked for me. I was just a little ways away from my practice, not too far, but enough. And then that Kirk had a really bad thing happen.
What?
It burned to the ground.
Oh my gosh.
The whole practice. Yeah. The whole building. On July 3. So we're coming up on it here. It was a Friday that day, I believe. Yeah. It was a 4th of July weekend. And I just met a guy who was wanting to expand his practice. I needed to move out of my original practice, decide what to do in the lease and everything that I bought from the previous dentist. So I met a guy who wanted to expand his practice. He had 9 chairs. He was working out of 4. And he wanted to see what it would mean to bring somebody in, which ends up being my business partner today. So we just met. We met through this group called Smile Source. Mm-hmm. And at the time was just starting off the ground. It was kind of a young idea of a lot of things, but mainly a group that could band together as independent dentists to preserve independent dentistry because of the DSOs and the large groups coming in, kind of gobbling up private practice. We wanted to not be a part of that group eventually. And this was a way to be, compete with those groups, right? On a buying level, buying group, but also through CE and sharing of best practices and that. So it was a pretty unique kind of group for our area.
Yeah.
And it was kind of getting some momentum. And so I was looking at it. And so was my partner, future partner, didn't know that. And then we met kind of that way. And he was telling me about this. And I was like, well, I could move into your place and we could see how that goes. And we were just dating. We didn't really move in completely together. We didn't get married. So we kind of just dated and lived in sin, you know, so to speak. And then for like 5 years, we did that. But in the meantime, we looked like we were partners and we called ourselves Smile Source because we could use all that marketing. And so we said Smile Source Spokane. That was our new name.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Now go back to that keep going. You had a thought?
Well, then we just met and that practice went burned to the ground. So I went from 2 practices to a half practice because I'm joining him in the other one, right? Which was actually the best blessing ever. It was a really good thing that happened because it made me kind of refocus and go, now I've got a partner that can share in this idea of expansion, of getting ourselves out of the chair, of enabling us to grow, right? Entrepreneurially. And so that was kind of our goal going in is, well, we do want to get back to that one day. Let's work on some systems. Let's work on our people and see if that opportunity presents itself in a different way down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it did, which is great. But sorry, you were going to ask me something?
Yeah, and so go back to SmileSource. Now, I've known about SmileSource, and what I didn't know as I started getting involved and asking more questions, how passionate this group is. It is not just a group. It's a community of people. And there's something that brought you to that. Like you guys are serious, like serious entrepreneurs about preserving your independence, right?
Right. I think that's part of it, right? Like here's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that you're putting into your businesses, right? And whether you know how to do that really effectively to be your own CEO or not, but you know that's what you want, right? And so you're not wanting to sell out necessarily, and you want to do the best dentistry you can. And so I met some guys here in our local area that were trying to grow the SmileSource group in general. And their growth model, really, truthfully, is this grassroots way of doing it. I think it's a real slow grow, right? That when you do it that way, you won't find them, in, at least not initially, at the ADA with a booth saying, join SmileSource.
Right.
It was by word of mouth because you wanted like individuals committed to that mission, right, of preserving private practice. And then you also wanted groups, guys that and girls that were good dentists,
right,
that really wanted to do the best for their patients in the sense of, you know, being pretty particular. So I was attracted to that group in general. Friends that I knew were starting to want to, I'm joining anyone. So now we have this community, right, where unbelievably before, even with your study clubs, you don't go and talk about marketing. You don't go and talk about the things you're struggling with. You know, you get to watch some presenters show all the good stuff that they're able to do with graphs or whatever. And then you go home wishing you could do that. And you just talk about those things in dentistry. You don't talk about the struggles you're having with your teams. Who did you use for, you bring on an associate, you know, now I can just say, well, here's my associate agreement. Take it. Like, don't spend on a lawyer. Just do it, man. What, you're right next door. Here's what I do for marketing. Try this. Like it's a thought process of abundance. It's not scarcity. And it's with people you want to see help and grow. And so I think together we're stronger. And that's that community I was attracted to right away. And so, and my partner too. So that was great. And we've been in it now 13 years. So,
And so you're speaking my language again, like this is going to be fun. But go a little bit deeper with this as an entrepreneur. How hard is it? Do you feel like you're alone a lot? Now I'm leading you with these questions, but sure. I'll tell you my story, Jeff. I have a 17-year-old son and he'll see my lips moving. He's like, Dad, your lips are moving again. And I'm like, what are you saying? He's like, I don't even want you to know. As an entrepreneur, you care a lot. And what people don't tell you, if you're listening to this podcast, and you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, it's wonderful, but there's also a dark side of it. You feel very alone. You feel isolated at times. You feel like people don't tell you the truth. And I don't care what you do. You got to find your people. You got to find a group of people that are like, come here, let me help you. Whether it be a mentor, whether it be a group, and it's got to go to a vulnerable place, like where you can be honest. Take us a little bit on that journey for you.
You know what? Yeah, Kirk, you've nailed it. And we're, I think in general, dentists are pretty isolated individuals, right? They're in their little their practices alone, working alone. If they're fortunate enough to have a partner or maybe they've hired an associate and they're their mentor, that's a pretty common scenario to be in if you own your own practice, right? You're grossing, you know, 1 to 2 million somewhere in there, and that's where you live. And it's hard outside of anywhere else in my experience to find connection, to find people that you could really ask the hard questions with or share the hard things you're going through with, and be vulnerable about that and know that your best interests are at least at heart too. To find it, you might have that with a couple of guys or girls, you know, but it's a unique community that came about from this that we have that. Because as an entrepreneur, you're alone. I think it'd be hard pressed to not think that you need a lot of self-motivation, a lot of positive, half full thinking a lot of the time Because if you let that other negative side take over, it won't happen. You won't be able to grow.
Right.
You'll wallow in your own mess, and there'll be times when you need the lift to get you out of that lower 50% to that higher 50%, right? To that half full part. And man, I've found a group of people that I can really lean on that way. In fact, one of the guys that's been in the group for a long time, I just spoke with last week, and I've checked in a while. And he's, I'm just checking in on you, man. How you been? And
yeah,
we've both been going through some of the same struggles in growth and in people. And it was great to just share the, you know what, together. Right. And be real. Yeah. Cause that's not common. I have found that's not common.
Right. And there are things, true or false, you can't talk to your team about. There are things you can talk to your spouse about, but it's just a different dynamic when you're talking to another entrepreneur who's dealing with the same things, who has a different practice. And I think the challenge for a lot of dentists is they feel, I don't know, maybe a competitive nature where I don't really want to tell you all my secrets because, you know, but in this setting, it's way different, right?
Way different. Yeah. And you know what? And that's what happens. Like, and it may not be that way across all the United States with at least our group of Smile Source docs, but in my neck of the woods, we meet, maybe there's 10 or 12 of us that meet. We meet once every other month or two, and just to get together, share best practices, share what's going on in the vendor world, if there's a deal out there or whatever. But mostly we connect with each other. And when we've invited potential people who are thinking about joining and they're in those scenarios with us, I have guys that join, that don't use our vendors, they're wasting, quote unquote, wasting their money. They could make way more on this investment, but they come just for that. They come for the community part. That's hard to tell somebody. It's so great to have a community.
Yeah.
That's where the time that you get spending there and the therapy of that is kind of priceless, actually. And so, it takes a bit to grow that, you know, to have the trust. But I think Smile Source has done a really good, probably indirectly, just by the way they designed who they wanted to be. But that's happened in our groups. And I think you'll find in all the groups around the United States that get together and share in that way. It's been a very reliable way to, your wife doesn't quite get it. She's going to listen, hopefully. And you can't talk to your team about all this stuff. That's inappropriate. And so you need some people to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
Those that have been through it too longer, right? And then when you get to be the guy that has been around a little bit, it also teaches you some things. So it's just a wonderful community for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was supposed to be about all that, Kirk, but man, I can't speak high enough about it in my experience.
Yeah. As most podcasts, Jeff, we just let them flow, go in any direction. And I love these stories, and I think it's really important. And I also like talking about the truth. I go everywhere. People say private practice is dead. Owning your own practice, I don't know. You probably interact with a lot of young dentists. And I have a special place in my heart for a young dentist because you can see the look in their eyes.
Yeah.
And they look to you like you look to that dentist that you're knocking on the door. You're like, buddy, you better be telling me the truth. Like, I mean, what would you say to somebody young, listen to this, about owning your own deal, doing your own thing, being independent? What would you say?
I think the first thing you want to figure out is who you are.
Right.
Like, what is important to you about the role of dentistry? If you are the precisionist who spends time with your hands and that's where you find your joy in doing the work, then know that about yourself. You can do that every day, as many days of the week as you want. But if you needing to somehow also want more than that and understand that about yourself, then I think go into that a little bit more, find out ways that can be who you can become, that entrepreneur spirit by owning your own practice. And then find people who do that already. and ask the questions, like just explore that with all of them. Find, and you'll find people that you'll connect with more. I think you can find that obviously with the group I'm in. And it does, and we would all be helpful in that regard, even if you didn't own your practice, but you, I think you, you ask the questions, what does it take? What does it mean? What do you struggle with? What are the wins and the losses and the successes and the failures? Tell me about all of that. So you can see who you are and envision yourself in that way.
Right.
Because I think coming out, a lot of guys have the idea that, oh, those guys make more money than me, and they can have all these things and they can do all these things. And that's not true, man. That's right. not true. It just gets spread out. It doesn't mean you make more.
Yeah.
You got to like it. You got to like it.
Totally agree. I got to hear the rest of the story. So you meet this this person, you become partners. What, give us the rest of the story. What happened all the way up till now? You guys.
Till now. So anyway, we're kind of cruising along, and actually another Smile Source doc who kind of brought us, who said, you should check out this group, pulled me one day and said, hey, Jeff, I think I'm done. I'm going to retire. And I'm trying to, I don't know how to do it. I've got a partner and he's, you know, not, it's not the greatest, and he can't take over, and I don't know what to do. So we were just having dinner talking, and he said, would this ever be something you'd be interested in? And I hadn't thought of it from that standpoint. You know, it was a little bigger than I would have thought to do. And we have this other guy and all this stuff. So I said, yeah, that's an interesting question. And so went back to my partner and we started talking about things. And so we bought the practice, and then within 6-7 months, COVID hit. And another little like bump in the road, right?
Yep.
You just, and as all of us had our COVID stories and things that happened, right? It was a blessing for us in that regard, because we didn't really know how to handle some of the transitions of the people. And what we learned was, and anybody who is thinking about buying a practice or a second location or any of that, what you can't really grasp is the culture of the place. You can't really know all the dentistry and what that entails as well. So is there really great dentistry going on? It's hard to know that right off the top. You can do some auditing and those things, and you can't really get a sense of the culture unless you were able to be there day in, day out for a while, which isn't feasible. So you got to know that there's going to be quite a bit of change that is probably likely, which is what my partner and I didn't know exactly. We thought we could just bring in some systems and enjoy the way we do things. And wouldn't that be heaven for all of you? So we learned a lesson there because that team no longer exists in any way, shape or form. And that was a lot. It's 5 hygienists, 2 docs, 4 up front, 5 assistants. It's a bigger practice, right?
Right.
But we learned that lesson. And then we thought, well, we got that lesson learned. Why don't we? And then another practice came up for sale, and it was a practice that she just couldn't manage anymore either. She wanted out. She just wanted to go back and work for community health. So, and it was in a location in our town, kind of a 3 town within Spokane. So we kind of want to be in that triangle, and it was the 3rd leg of that triangle. And so we bought that practice, and we learned another valuable lesson, which was, she was completely insurance-based. And before that, we were kind of fee-for-service, about 40-50% PPO and about 50% fee-for-service. Well, she was 95, you know, all and HMO.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, they'll meet us and they'll see how nice we are and all those good things. And that doesn't happen either, by the way. So another lesson learned. And so we had to kind of almost built de novo. We had to kind of really start from scratch again. And we did. So we have the 3 locations, and we're happy where we're at. We're growing. And we just hired 2 new graduates.
Awesome.
And so I'm in a mentor state at the moment. And it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, I'm going to ask you to predict the future. I want to know what the next chapter of your life looks like. What's the road ahead look like for you? It's anyone's guess, you know?
It's anyone's guess, right? If I had a magic wand kind of question, right? What could it be? I'm trying to set some of those things in motion Kirk, with where I actually do dentistry in the chair and even get myself out of the chair a little bit more. And I've fallen in love actually through some Smile Source and other colleagues to the All on X, you know, surgeries and helping people really change their path forward with new teeth and new approach on life. And it's been super rewarding. So I'm trying to gear myself to do those things within the practices and let everything else go to other people and grow them in the same way so that one day they can also do those things and have a big toolbox to work out of. So if I had my way, I would do that for the next, this idea of retirement too is another concept I'm not quite sure about. I like where I'm at. I like doing what I do. Don't want to do it, you know, 5 days a week. No, yeah. But I don't know. I don't want to stop doing it either. So do I have an end date? I think that's a concept that, I don't know. My dad's always said, as long as I'm not hurting, he's an OBGYN. As long as I'm not hurting anybody and I'm contributing member of my practice and community, I want to keep doing it if I like it. I don't want to not disengage from it. And so he just retired at 76.
Wow.
And that's because he couldn't see very well anymore or something, you know? it was a little harder to do all that. So I don't know. I don't have a stop date. And so I like doing these surgeries. I like growing people. If I can continue making a difference that way, then I'm all in.
That's awesome. I'm going to save best for last. And then I'm going to have you back again and again. I have so many other questions. Other topics I want to go. You said at the beginning, time. And I think you and I, probably you more than me, have some better perspective. You seem like a smart guy, like being 56 and 55. You're talking my language. It's one of my favorite things. It's one of the things I wish I would have learned more about is the value of time. And now that you and I always say I'm playing the back nine, like I'm on the back nine, and it's a different perspective. You know, it's not a sad one. It's a perspective type of thing.
Sure.
Back to what time really means to you. When you made a decision to be a dentist so that you could be in more control of your time, what does that mean? And how important is that to somebody who's listening to this? Because I think it's one of the things people don't talk about very much anymore in dentistry, you know?
I think we could all, you know, as an entrepreneur, someone who wants to be in their business, you could spend every waking moment in that mindset.
Right.
And not balance life a little bit. And I found myself being forced to not being able to balance it, right? It was just all the time seemed like if I'm going to be as effective as I can be in this principal thing, it's just going to take all my time. So I wanted have control of that. Doesn't mean there aren't times when, ooh, man, the business needs me more than I really want it to at the moment. But the concept and the balance of that, you can't lose sight of wanting it for yourself too. Like you got to have those times. You'll never be effective. You'll never be as a better leader, a better mentor, better husband, a better any father. None of those things. If you don't keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Like you got for me. So, and that's a challenge. I mean, who hasn't had that challenge? Like work-life balance, right? We talk about it all the time. And I'm not a guru on that for sure. Because it's hard to shut off, right? You can't, it's really hard to shut it off. So I think you find ways. I've found ways. You just talk about back nine, like golf for 3 hours. Like I'm not going to, the cell phone doesn't exist. There's no problems that can't be solved in 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is. And maybe my game isn't even what I'm thinking about, but it's not the business, right? Or I'm going to go on a family vacation. Let's just put it aside. Like I'm not going to be able to be in contact unless it's really serious. You know, we have ways to do that. Just create some rules for yourself. Give yourself some time. Make it purposeful. Because if you don't, you will fall right back into that, like, gotta go. Let's get more.
Yeah.
I gotta do this, gotta do that, whatever it is. And I think that's been something I've learned, and maybe you too have learned, that you gotta do. Otherwise it's gonna go by and you won't know it.
Yeah.
And you probably won't be as healthy and you won't be as happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
We can do a whole other episode on time. What I'm learning at this age is like, it's got to check two boxes. Whatever I do has got to give me more time and give me more joy. And it's got to be like purposeful type of a thing, or three boxes, you know? So I also heard somebody say this. This is a great mentor of mine said, like, as an entrepreneur, you're going to have some moments. You're like, I wish I would have. But if you spend your life capturing the moments, the years will take care of themselves. And I really like that. He's like, whenever you have a moment, just say, this is a moment. Like, my son is playing. No, I'm not going to come. I'm golfing. No, you know, there's a power, and I'm a wuss. I've been clinically diagnosed as a wuss. So I have a heart, like the word no is like really hard to come out of my mouth.
Difficult. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've learned there's so much power and go, nope, not going to do it. Nope. Gone. Going to do it. It's a dental practice. Do you know what I mean? It's dentistry. It's like the coolest thing about this profession. If you're listening, you can choose everything. And there's really no such thing as a dental emergency. I mean, a car accident is a dental emergency, but like, there's no emergencies, you know, and you can, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, my partner always says, we're the best profession. No one's going to die in your chair from what you did.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, I mean, like, it's pretty hard for that kind of thing to happen. So nothing is as serious as we make it.
Right.
And so you just put perspective in it. Right. I love that. Yeah. Among those, that's a great, I like what you just shared. That's awesome.
Hey,
I agree 100%.
This is why I do this. Nothing I have, I made up. I borrow everything. So I got a bunch from you today too. So, and I know I can't keep you forever. I have so many other questions, but give us some final thoughts, Jeff. Anybody listening, what you would say about this journey, finding a group like Smile Source, anything?
I think we all have something to contribute to another human being.
Yeah.
And we do that as dentists, indirectly and directly. And if I had to kind of just, man, if you could, like, I have my new associates here and they're, you know, just sponges and they're trying to learn as much as they can. Man, to have the idea that when you can give somebody something, whatever that giving is, what somebody once said, giving makes you feel like you're living. And I found that to be very true. The more we can give, the more indirectly things just happen and they're happier. It makes you feel really good inside. Yeah. When you start taking and thinking about how you can get, I think you lose sight. So no matter what you're choosing to do, if you can think about how you can be a better human to another individual in whatever capacity, I think it's worth it.
Well said, Jeff. Very Thanks. Well said. Well, I really enjoyed this, man. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You didn't even know what you signed up for, but, and I'm going to get you back again, which is called Voluntolding. So, we'll talk more.
No problem. Life. I appreciate it, Kirk. Great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you too. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. This is just what this is all about. Dentistry is the greatest profession ever. And I know it's challenging. There's difficulty everywhere. But if you find the right type of people to hang around with, you can change the way you think. Dentistry can truly create a great life for you and for your team. So Jeff's just a great example of how you can make that happen. So keep showing up. We're going to keep bringing it. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share this with your friends. And until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.